The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're talking about revival. And we're specifically talking about prayer right now. It's very important that we recognize the importance of prayer in setting the stage, laying a good foundation for a revival and a renewal in the hearts of God's people. Revival starts in the church. A real revival is the church. Awakening is what happens when a revival comes. A revival takes place in the church. An awakening takes place in the community. A revival is the church. That's why Chronicles is so important to us. 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Guess what? We have some wicked ways. Humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. You know, that's what we have to do. Seek his face, humble ourselves, pray, and ask him for forgiveness. He says he will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. There's the key. See, when we get our lives right, the land begins to be healed, which is an awakening in our communities, in our nation, in the world. We need an awakening in this world. We need an awakening in our community. You realize that most of our churches in this area have probably less than 50 people in them. We need an awakening. We need to see the power of God move. Not just church, not just something that entertains people, that brings, we have good music. That's awesome. Praise God. But I don't want to entertain you. I don't want to entertain you with preaching. You know, I can tell you great stories and all kinds of crazy things that might entertain you. I can get up here and do flips and that might entertain you. Hallelujah. If I dance, you won't be entertained. Singing, same way. Entertainment is not what we're about here. It's the presence of God. Come on. That's why we keep pressing in. That's why we keep trying to receive more and more the presence of God in this place. We want the glory of God to fall in this place in such a way that it fell in the Old Testament. When the temple was dedicated, the priest couldn't even stand in the presence of God. Hallelujah. This has happened in the past when there was great awakenings that took place. When first the church became revived, and then a great awakening took place in the nation and in the world. People would fall out in the spirit. We think that the being slain in the spirit is just a new phenomenon that came about during the charismatic movement. That's not right. You can go way back in history, even clear back to John Wesley. That's right. And you will see that crazy things happened when God's people. Well, there's one account during the time of John Wesley's preaching. He said that people were being carried out like they had been in some sort of a battle, because they would just fall out in the spirit. And they were carried out and ministered to someplace. It's not a new phenomenon. This is the power of God. You remember what happened to the soldiers that came to get Jesus? When they were going to lead him to be abused and beaten and put on the cross, his word caused them to fall down. Power of God. In the Old Testament, you can go back in many places. People were what we would refer to as slain in the spirit. They didn't have that terminology then. But the power of God came upon whole groups of people, and it would fall out in the spirit. Now, I'm not telling you that that's what's going to happen necessarily in this time of renewal and revival and awakening. I'm just trying to tell you, be aware that God does things His way, not our way. If we're not careful, we will try to make this awakening and this revival that I believe we're right now moving into, we'll try to shape it in the image of something that we remember that revival should be, or something that we think revival should be. Can't do that. Be aware of what God is doing. In the Old Testament, there's a story. I think it's in Samuel. David wanted to move the Ark of the Covenant. It had just been recovered from the Philistines. And the Philistines had it. And it had caused their idols to fall over. It had caused them to have horrible affliction. And they decided that they didn't want this thing anymore. So they sent it back. They realized the power of God was upon it, and they didn't deserve the power of God. So David wants to move the Ark of the Covenant to a place where he has set up to worship it so that it can be in a holy of holy place. And as they were moving it, Uzzah, who was walking along with the ark, saw the ox stumble, and he put his hand out to steady the cart. And he died. Now, I don't know what his intentions was. Maybe he had a pure heart. I don't know. But his mistake was to try to steady the Ark of the Covenant of God. Many times in the church, we begin to see the move of God. And because of our humanness, we try to steady that. We try to make it look like something that we're used to or something that we think it should be. We put our hand out and we steady the holy of holies, the holiness of God. And we try to stop what we think is some kind of craziness. Don't do it. We're going to be open to whatever God brings in this place. Hallelujah. Glory. If you think that Jerry dancing in front of the church is a little crazy, you have not seen anything yet. Hallelujah. You think Ivy shouting and dancing on stage is a little out of the ordinary? Hallelujah. Praise God. Wait till we turn her loose in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait till this congregation no longer inhibits her from back there to up here. When we receive and release her in the name of Jesus Christ, God is going to do some things that you're going to be uncomfortable with. Hallelujah. It's not about your comfort. It's not about your good feelings. It's about the power and the move of the Holy Spirit. It's about us recognizing that worshiping the living God is what it's all about. It's about releasing ourselves to Him. I'm looking for and praying for the day that the whole congregation is laying out in front of this altar before the living God. And no one cares what anybody else thinks. We just do what God tells us to do. Hallelujah. That makes some of you uncomfortable just thinking about it, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I'm going to try to get into this message. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. Ask the Lord for rain. We've been talking about prayer, and this has been our theme for this this revival message. Revive us again, and prayer, revival is wrapped up in this. I believe this scripture, Zechariah 10:1. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain, The Lord will make flashing clouds. Hallelujah. Who wants flashing clouds? Hallelujah. Let it flash. Glory. Now, I want to tell you something. Some people run from flashing clouds. You know, some people are afraid they might get struck with lightning. Let it come, Lord. Strike me. Hit me. I want to see the flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Lord, when we cry out, he's going to send showers of rain upon us. Grass in the field forever. You know what that's speaking about? That's prosperity. Grass in the field for everyone. When we release ourselves, when we cry out for more rain in this time of latter rain, when we desire flashing clouds more than anything else, we will see the showers of rain and we will see the green grass, the prosperity of God, and it'll show up in all kinds of different ways. Prosperity cannot be defined as financial prosperity. It cannot be defined as physical prosperity, just health. It cannot be defined as emotional prosperity. Prosperity is God's prosperity across the board. In every area of our life. Sozo, you are saved, healed, set free, delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can't even seem to get on track this morning. Thank you, Lord. We've been talking about prayer, and our focus has been the model prayer of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. And my desire is that we will all learn to pray consistently, persistently, and resolutely in all of our prayer lives. That our prayers will not just be some random thing off the top of our head. And it's okay to pray off the top of your head. You should be in a mode of prayer constantly throughout your day. I believe that. But I believe there is a prayer time that should be set up for and by each and every one of us where we get off by ourselves with the Father. And when we do that, our prayers are more than just random thoughts, because if we're not careful, if it's just random prayers, it'll be like Pastor Otis said this morning. We'll be thinking about everything else that comes along. The enemy gets in there and just takes us off track. So it's very important then that we have some idea of where we're going with our prayer life. That's why I encourage you to write down just a list of things that you want to pray for. I don't mean that you have to have detail. I'm just an outline. That way it'll help keep you on track as you pray. You know, you want to pray for your family. You want to pray for the church. You want to pray for your country and your leaders. You want to pray for the sick. You know, it just gives you an outline of where you're going. See, that keeps us on track. And that helps us have a united, faith-filled petition to our Heavenly Father. That we all come together at some time. Like on Tuesday nights when we come together. We come together and pray out of the abundance of the prayer life that we have on a regular basis every day, seeking the Father. The fire of God is stirred inside of me, not just because I want it to be stirred inside of me. It's stirred inside of me because of the time that I spend with the Father. The Father stokes the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me. The Father is stirring me up to get close to Him. I want to see our prayer lives bring this church a great awakening. Amen. Revival. An awakening that goes from these doors, out of these doors, into our community. There was a time in the history of this church that we were having a prayer time. It was way back. We were still up on Silver Ridge. And we were setting aside times to pray, and people were coming together. We're praying early in the morning, right before the service. Like, we pray every morning. Come, be a part of it. It's open. We had specific prayer times, and we had times of for people to be praying on a regular basis. And we came to church one Sunday morning. Now, I hope I get all these details. If I don't get the details right, please forgive me, because, you know, I've told this story before, but I sometimes just don't remember all the details of it. But we came to church that Sunday morning. We were having Sunday school, and Sunday school was not normal Sunday school. We tried to start studying the lesson, and the Spirit of God just came in and overwhelmed the place. And by the time that we were ready to move into the regular service, the power of God had gripped the people so much that we were just running around and shouting. People were going outside and shouting and praising God. And some incredible things were just happening. They were stirring in people's hearts. And during that time, and this was before we left, but we were contemplating leaving the hill. We were trying to discern what God's will was. And during that time, I believe it was Mary Pellegrino, that she came up and she said something to the effect that the Holy Spirit said to open the back doors. And we opened the back doors, and the purpose for that was revealed, that the Holy Spirit was leading us out, and we were going forth from that particular place. Now, I believe that the Spirit of God is saying something similar to us this morning. But it's not that we're leaving this place. It's that we're going out from this place with the power of God that's going to impact our community. Amen? There's a stirring going on. There's something happening. People recognize that this world is shaking right now. There's some difficult things going on. The world, you know, people in the world, and it's a part of this world, they even know that there's something happening, and they're questioning, is God involved with this? And it's time for God's people to rise up and say, there's answers to these problems. There's answers to your fear. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can't do it all by myself, and I don't even desire to. It's this body that's supposed to go forth. It's the body of Christ that's supposed to go forth. In churches all over this area, we're supposed to make a difference. We're supposed to see. And right now, I just believe, open the back doors. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Thank you. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. All the way out. Amen. Everybody stand up. Turn around. All right. We've got the doors open. Hallelujah. Father God, this morning, we declare, yes, and we believe that your Spirit is moving in such a way that you are desiring your people to take your Spirit outside of these four walls, that your power will be manifest in the lives of your people. As we go forth, Father God, there will be a great awakening among this community. People will be set free. People will be delivered. Habits and addictions will be broken. Marriages will be healed. Hallelujah. Demon possession will be set. They'll be set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we loose the prosperity of the name of Jesus Christ on those people out there. In Jesus' name, we will go forth. We will do your bidding and your will. And today, Father God, we believe that we are declaring your will for Bethel. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Whew. Amen. Now I want to know, do you believe that?
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's what it's going to take. We have to believe what God is going to do. Because we have to walk in it. It's not just us saying something. It's not just Pastor Rob standing up here making a declaration. It's the Spirit of God moving on God's people. We are in a desperate situation right now in our nation and in the world. It's time for God's people to get serious about serving the living God.
Sir.
Dr. J. Edwin Orr was a leading scholar of revivals. He published a lot of books in regards to evangelical awakenings. And he said this, he said, there's never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. That's where it begins. In the early 1900s, the turn of the 20th century, our nation and the world were in dire need of revival. Things were bad. Debauchery, sex trafficking, slavery, all kinds of things were taking place. Drunkenness, addictions. Churches had dwindled. There just wasn't many people in churches. So the church at large, the body of Christ, decided to establish a general movement of prayer. They began with special prayer meetings. It started at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. They established some in England, in Melbourne, Australia, in Korea, India, and many places all over the world. And as God's people united and began to pray, seriously praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God began to move. When revival broke out, it made a profound impact, not only on the church, but on society at large. It was reported that at Yale University that over 25% of the student body was involved with enrolled prayer and Bible studies when this thing started breaking out. Atlantic City said that when the aftermath of the revival, they had a population of 50,000. They could only find 50 adults in the city that had not been touched in some way by that revival. In Portland, Oregon, during the time of the prayer, and they were preparing for the move of God, 240 major stores closed from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day. Ooh, you all right?
Sorry.
You thought you got shot, didn't you, Janice? Hallelujah. Hey, man, that was just a wake-up call from God.
Sorry.
I think that's awesome. And they signed a contract, a covenant with one another, that they would all adhere to it and not cheat. They were going to close down their stores during the day so that people could go to prayer meetings. First Baptist Church, Paducah, Kentucky. The pastor was an old man. He had served the Lord for many years. Dr. J.J. Cheek. Within 2 months, he took in 1,000 new members in his local church, a little country church. 1,000 people. It so overwhelmed him that he worked himself to death. It's okay. He went to be with the Lord. Don't feel bad for him. He was an old guy. He had worked hard. In fact, the Southern Baptist said it was a glorious ending to a devoted ministry. You can rejoice over that. Praise God. If I die doing ministry, I'll just be praising God. There's no better thing to do than die doing what God has called you to.
Come on, that's right.
Let's let that happen. Glory, I don't want to be overwhelmed. I just want to rest in the presence of God, but I want it to come to the place where I could be overwhelmed. Amen? All right, we know that prayer changes things. United, faith-filled prayer changes the world. There's no doubt about that. So we've been learning from this model prayer of Jesus, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Now remember, this is just a model prayer. This is Jesus was asked by his disciples, teach us to pray. So he did. He said, pray like this. Follow this model. Pray to the Father. Number one, we're not praying to Jesus. We're not praying to the Holy Spirit. We're praying to our daddy. We pray to the Father. You don't pray to Mary. You don't pray to saints. You don't pray to anybody else. You pray to the Father. The Father is the one that wants to have relationship with you.
Right.
You enter into prayer with worship. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. We glorify your holy name. You are an awesome and mighty God. Why do we do that? Because he is worthy. We need to show respect for our Heavenly Father. And ask for his kingdom work and his will to be done in us and in this world. Because his kingdom is here and now. It lives inside of you. And wherever you go, you are carrying the kingdom with you. Whatever you do, you're carrying the kingdom. You are an ambassador for Christ. Ambassadors have an aura around them, a kingdom aura.
Come on.
Wherever they go, the kingdom of God is present there. Walk in it, act like it, accept it. I'm not telling you to be arrogant. That's the last thing you need to be. You need to be loving and kind and compassionate. I'm telling you to know who you are in Christ. Christ was the most loving, kind, and compassionate person ever to walk the face of the earth. But he walked with authority.
Yes, he did.
He didn't fool with demonic spirits, and he didn't fool with religious people. He put them in their place because he had kingdom authority to do so. And he said, all power has been given to me. Go, therefore. Go. Go and do it. All right, today we're going to look at this scripture. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the part of our prayer life where we ask the Father for provision. His kingdom, provision, and prosperity in our life. Now here's what's crazy about Christianity to me is that it seems like the pendulum either it swings from one extreme to the other. We either feel like we are not worthy to ask God for anything, or we feel like we are so well established in our relationship with him that we can ask amiss out of the passions and desires of our heart rather than the kingdom work. Now, I don't know. I've been in this Christianity thing for a long time, and I've seen it on both sides. I've seen churches where they feel like they're dogs and they're not allowed to ask God for anything. That's ridiculous. And I've seen people so arrogant that I wanted to stomp on them. That may seem cruel, but it's true. We have the right to come to our Heavenly Father and ask him, not demand. I don't have to demand anything of my Father. I am a father and a grandfather. And when particularly my grandchildren ask anything of me, My children are grown and I'll do everything I can for them. Anything. When they ask. But my grandchildren have a soft spot in my heart. And when they ask something, you know, Papa, can I have a banana split? I know their mom's going crazy.
That's right.
No, no, no. Of course you can have it. Can I have candy for breakfast? Of course you can have it. Cake, ice cream, it doesn't matter. When they ask, I want to meet their need, their desire. Amen. And our Father is the same way. When we come before Him humbly, asking Him, He has that same compassion for His people. He'll do everything He can to answer our prayers. You know, I have a new baby granddaughter. And she's not old enough yet to ask for anything. But I've got a whole list of things that I'm going to get her. I believe that. I believe that the Heavenly Father has a whole list of things He wants to give to you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And He's just up there waiting for His people to recognize who they are. That they're children, they're sons and daughters of the living God, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's just waiting for us to come to Him and say, Father, Father, touch me. That's the God I serve. He's not some judge sitting on a throne with lightning bolts ready to strike me when I do wrong. My God, I do wrong. He knows that. It's not about the wrong I do. It's about the right Jesus did.
That's right. Good stuff.
It's about the power
that's
in the blood of Jesus. Ask for the rain in the time of the latter rain. He'll give it to you. He'll give you what you ask. He will give showers of rain and grass in the field for everyone. Hallelujah. Ask, be thankful. Philippians 4:6 says it, and I believe this is part of our asking. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. How do we ask? We ask Him and we thank Him. And let your request be known to Him. It's okay. Thank you, Father. Man, I want to share something with you. And some people probably did not understand when Tammy and I were desiring a home. But we left Athens. We came here. We brought a mobile home to live in. We left a 5-bedroom home that we had completely remodeled because we felt like this is what God said to do. And for 22 years, I had been asking God, you know, home didn't mean that much to me, but for Tammy, it was important. For 22 years, we've been asking God to provide this place for us, a home. Now, for about 5 years now, I have known that the home that we were able to get was going to be available for us. It just depended on the lady that we bought it from, how soon she was going to be able or allow us to purchase it from her. She had told me she wanted us to buy it. She wanted us to have it. She had given me a price, and we'd kind of worked things out with that. So I just had to wait. So for 5 years, we knew that God had this place for us, even though we were praying, and all I could do was just thank Him for it. Thank you, God, for opening the door. And I know some of you, there was some people that came up to me and felt like that the Lord said that I was supposed to be more proactive in getting a home. The only way I know how to put it. And I understood that. And I believed that, you know, okay, I'm going to try to be more proactive. So when people would come up to me and say that, I would go back over and talk to her. But in reality, God had a timetable. And I got to tell you something. The home that we have, it's not a great mansion of any kind, but praise God, it's perfect for us. Tammy and I sit around all the time. We sit around in our yard and we are amazed at what God has done for us. How awesome it is. We've got a lot of work to do, and sometimes that's a little overwhelming, but I'm still amazed and thankful every day. God, thank you. You knew our need. You knew exactly what we wanted and what we needed. You made it available right in the place. You know, we're able to stay close to my mother, which I wanted to make sure that I do that because I feel responsible for taking care of her. Praise God. He has everything under control. Trust him. I hope that I can just convey to you this morning that all you have to do is trust him. There were so many times that we looked at our circumstances and wondered, you know, God, what are you doing? Is it going to happen? Yes, God is in control. And I know whatever you're going through this morning, whatever you've been asking God for, there's been times that you ask, God, what's going on? Why is this not manifesting the way I think it should? Trust your God. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Continue. Here's what Colossians says, 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. The next thing I want to share with you, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Debt here, the Greek word of philema, which means owed, that which is justly or legally due, a debt. Metaphor of that is, of course, as it's being used here, is an offense, a sin. A debtor, one who has not yet paid amends to whom he has injured. Now, jump down to verse 14 and 15. It says this, "For you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Your trespasses." So the debt, he's using two metaphors here. He's using a trespass and he's using a debt. A trespass, we all know what a trespass is. Most of us are property owners in this place. If you're a property, even if you rent, someone can come on your property where you live and trespass. Many people will have tracts of land put up trespassing signs so people won't trespass on it. A trespasser is someone who sideslips. A lapse or deviation. Unintentional error or a willful transgression. People can willfully trespass on your property. If so, you legally have a right to be reimbursed for that trespass through the court system. Good luck with that. I've never known anybody to successfully be able to do that unless there was some kind of harm that took place. A trespass can either be an intentional or negligent thing. A trespass is always a trespass. Entitling the person that possesses the land to a remedy. So if somebody trespasses, Jesus is talking about somebody, remember, this is a metaphor for sin. somebody doing you wrong, offending you, hurting you in some way. Jesus is saying, be careful. If somebody does you harm, forgive them. Don't allow it to grow inside of you. Do not allow that root of bitterness to rise up in you, because it will destroy you. Listen, a trespass can only cause you harm if you let it. Now we say, I've heard people say, so-and-so did this to me and hurt me. They did that to you, yes. The hurt came from your feelings about it. And we're going to have those kind of emotions. I'm not telling you, you can just deny it. It's going to happen. But what are we supposed to do about it? We're supposed to have the action of forgiveness.
Yes.
I got to tell you, as pastor, for over 20 years, I've had lots of opportunities to be offended with people. I have felt, at times, betrayed by people. I cannot afford to allow that to grow inside of me.
Right, Pastor.
It's the last thing I want to have happen. It makes no difference. And some of those people that I felt betrayed by, they didn't mean anything. It wasn't that they had any ill intentions toward me. It's just they felt like they had to do something and go somewhere. And I got to get over myself. But I got to tell you something, it's not always easy. I recently had a situation where someone that I felt like I had been betrayed by these people, and they asked me to do something for them. There's the test. Are you allowing bitterness to grow inside of you? If you are, if a person has a need that you feel like they offended you, you won't help them. But if you overcome that bitterness and those emotions, you will reach out and love them regardless of how you feel about it. And that's what I had to do. I had to get over myself. And I thank God for a godly wife that's able to give me wisdom and direction and help me to wake up sometimes. Amen. That's why we're so important to one another. All right. I promised that I was going to promise myself that I was going to finish this message. So I'm going to get this done today before we wrap up. The next thing is, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Forever. Amen. Now, I got to tell you something. To be honest with you, I really struggle with this part of the prayer. Because I know what James 1:13 says. It says, let no one say that when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. You know, I know that's what it says. And yet Jesus is saying, pray to the Father, do not lead us into temptation. So I have to really think about it, and I had to be able to reconcile this with other scripture. And it took me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So the Holy Spirit does sometimes lead us into a situation where God is not doing the tempting, but the enemy is allowed to put some temptation on us and bring us into a position where we must stand on the word of God. And you remember what Jesus did every time he was tempted? It is written. He went to the word. That's what we have to do. Yes, I believe that there are going to be times in our lives where the Holy Spirit will lead us into a situation where the temptation is strong and it's powerful. But if we will rely on the Word of God, that Holy Spirit that lives inside of us will make sure that we are well able to handle that temptation. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10:1 says this, "No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man."
That's right.
But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you were able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There's our answer. Even though we are led into a place where the enemy can tempt us, God has made a way of escape for us.
Yes.
Amen. Prepare yourself for temptation, but be ready to stand on the Word of God. And then, of course, we know, to wrap up this prayer, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. John 16:14, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name, and ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full." We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of God is in the name of Yeshua. Jesus. It's in the blood. It's in the sacrifice. It's in the resurrection from the dead. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. It's in the name of Jesus. We throw that name around. Jesus, Jesus this, Jesus that. It's so flippantly sometimes that we've come to the place where it really doesn't mean anything. But the reality is, it's the most powerful name
yes.
ever to be spoken. The devil trembles when you speak the name of Jesus from the heart. The devil trembles when you speak the name of Jesus with authority. The devil and his angels and the demonic forces, they tremble when you walk into a place with the authority of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. The power of God is real, and it becomes manifest in our prayer life. That's why I wanted to talk to you about this prayer, how powerful it is. And how I want us to be on board on a daily basis to pray the prayer. Pray before our living God. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bow your head. Father God, we come to you again today. We're just thankful, Lord, that you're an awesome God. We give you glory and honor for being our God and our strength. Father, I believe that every person in here this morning has a passion and a desire to grow closer to you, to spend time in prayer with you. Our lives are hectic and they're difficult. But I ask that you just give us the will and the desire to set aside a few moments every day to come into your presence, because it makes such a difference in our daily life. It'll help us, Lord God, to walk in power. It'll help us to make wise decisions. It'll cause us to be led of the Spirit, even when we don't even realize that we're being led of the Spirit. It will cause every step to be ordered by you. Father God, we thank you. We praise your holy name. And I thank you for your people today, that we are together proclaiming that you are in control of our life. You are our God. And we're going to seek your face on a daily basis. Lord, thank you that you go forth from this place. Today we have declared that your power is going out of this place into this community. And that means your Holy Spirit is going to touch and woo people and bring people into your kingdom. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have an awesome day. If you'd like to have prayer for healing, please come on.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.